drop it. You know, I almost forgot to drop it. It's a good thing I didn't. All right, Mark Thompson, Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola with you guys in the first hour here. Everybody check out The Edge with Mark Thompson. That's Mark's podcast. It's
thank
excellent.
Thank you.
We decided earlier in the day when we shot Old School that we're going to kick Michael Schur to the end of Mark's podcast.
Yeah.
So don't worry, you will not get Michael Schur at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, now he's moving. We call it the Fast 15. We usually start the show with him. Now, as a result of my conversation with Cenk on Old School, he's going to be pushed to the end.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I want to hear this conversation now and find out.
One more conversation with Cenk, and he'll be off the show completely.
Yeah. They're kicking him out.
It's a police clap. Okay, and so we got a lot of. Oh, it's the Trump president. Of course, we got a lot of news for you. We couldn't fit all the disasters of the Trump administration into one show.
Yeah, we're missing some big stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry.
We're going to do the best we can. And if you're wondering, hey, Cenk, why are you just wearing a black t-shirt like in Old School? Oh, why? Thank you for asking. It's not. It's this.
Look at that.
Resist the 45th. That sounds like a show on FX. Resist the 45th. Okay.
Or Netflix.
No, or sci-fi.
Okay. Yeah, right. It does feel like a sci-fi element. Yeah. Yeah.
Inspired by Stephen King.
Yes. Shoptyt.com. That's where you got to go for all these sexy shirts and the hat that Mark is wearing.
I got the hat.
Yeah.
That's where I got it.
Although that was out of stock for a while. But anyway, give it a shot, see what happens.
I kind of juiced the sales, I think, because I wear the hat a lot.
That's right. I think you did. Yeah. All right. John Iadarola, you have a lot of stories for us, including disaster in the beginning.
I do. Right before, though, just because this is a Friday Power Panel, I'm going to acknowledge what I acknowledged to the studio before we started rolling. I have to admit, since I've gotten back, I'm still not there mentally. Like, I still feel fundamentally like jet lagged or something. So I apologize in advance if these intros aren't particularly good.
Yeah, no, that's not true, and it's ridiculous. by the way, I forgot to say True North. That's his new nickname because the name of the show is going to be True North.
That I like that.
I liked Gabby, one of her viewers, had a Daenerys Targaryen style list of my titles, and she had the frozen and unthawed was one of them that I appreciated particularly. I think it was unthawed.
Oh, by the way, anyway. John's shirt you could also get Stranger
you
Times.
Can actually, I'm wearing this because that trailer for Stranger Things just came out, and I'm so excited for that to launch.
Yes, and we were talking about Stranger Things in the postgame yesterday with Matt Atchity from What the Flake. All right, what's next, John?
Okay, I guess we can talk about politics now. Late last night, Donald Trump announced that he would be making a very significant and more than likely disastrous change to the Affordable Care Act, which he put out a press release for and then did. The press release read in part, the Department of Health and Human Services has concluded that there is no appropriation for cost sharing reduction payments to insurance companies under Obamacare. In light of this analysis, the government cannot lawfully make the cost sharing reduction payments. If you're not entirely sure what that means, because it's weird speak, basically there are these incredibly important federal subsidies that go to make sure that the lowest income Americans can afford to pay for their health insurance. That's a fundamental and incredibly important part of the Affordable Care Act, which will now apparently be cut out. People who earn too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but are still low income, so this is up to 250% of the federal poverty line, which is still very low income, you can receive these so-called CSRs. Now, we're going to break down all the reasons that cutting out these subsidies is disastrous, why it's intentionally disastrous. But immediately it's a problem because many insurance companies finalize their premiums for the upcoming year in late September. Now, some of them, thankfully, because there's been so much uncertainty over the course of this year about whether those subsidies would simply vanish from one day to the next, a lot of the companies have come up with two sets of potential premiums based on the subsidies existing and not existing, which means that theoretically they might have made some moves that would mitigate some of the damage and rise in premiums from this change. But at least 14 major insurance companies apparently did not do that, which means that now you're not just going to have a rise in your premiums as a result of this if you were in that CSR category. You're going to have a drastic, significant rise as they scramble to make ends meet now that this move has been announced.
Yeah, so he did a trifecta here of damage, which is, I guess, normal for Donald Trump. And part of this, I have to be honest with you, like I like to clarify, you know, I dive in and then I try to make it simpler for you guys. But I read about 8 articles and I don't understand how he pulled this off. So your prices are generally gonna go up 20 to 25%. 20% now is, so as John pointed out, it's month to month sometimes. So it might be next month that your prices go up, depending on if it got baked into the price or not. By the way, let me just pause there for a second, because that's a really important point. You were mad at Obamacare because the prices kept going up. Part of it was because they already increased the prices because of Trump's earlier threats that he was gonna do this. So, Obamacare, the prices are up. By the way, some of that is merited. The other part of it was, no, it was because Trump said, hey, I'm gonna destroy Obamacare. This is how I'm gonna destroy Obamacare. And you're gonna need to increase prices. So they already baked that in. You should have been, so go ahead and preemptively get angry at Trump. Okay, or in hindsight, get angry at Trump. Anyway, now let's look forward.
Postemptively,
okay. To make up a word that A, Trump would enjoy. Trump would enjoy slash not understand. Okay.
Slash then claim he invented.
Right. So now to the heart of it, the thing that I can't understand is he somehow managed to increase your prices by 20% and increase the deficit by $200 billion.
Yeah.
How is that possible? And I kept reading it and rereading it, but he is a magician. If you need something screwed up royally in a way that you can't even comprehend, you bring in Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he'll find a way to do that.
Yeah.
Because now that money is going to have to be paid out of the feds, right? Is that what's happening?
No, but your premiums are going up anyway, though. So that's the thing. Like, so the government was helping the insurance companies, not because it wanted to help insurance companies, but because that was to offset the cost for really poor people who have this. And this does affect poor people more than middle class, okay? So the Republicans are like, yes, who cares about poor people, right?
Yeah.
So now once that money's taken away, the insurance companies go, well, okay, since that doesn't exist anymore, I have to increase your premiums. That part I understand. How in the world that increases deficit?
Yeah, so the reason that it increases the deficit is the way that it worked now is you would receive this money from the federal government, which would lower your premiums. Now your premiums are gonna be higher, but there's already a stipulation that you can deduct from your taxes some of these premiums that you pay. Oh. Since you'll be paying more, that means that you'll be paying less in taxes specifically. You'll still be paying much more overall, and so the federal government will lose out on that money that they would have otherwise gotten in taxes.
Thank
it's
you,
the tax credits that
yes.
do it.
All right.
I mean, for all we know, maybe he'll eliminate those two. I don't know. He seems dead set on screwing over his voters, that's for sure.
And then the trifecta part, the last part is now the markets are way more unstable for health insurance. So some of those insurance companies that in their mind weren't making enough money, now they're gonna make even less money, their margins are gonna be smaller, and they might go, nah, I'm just not gonna provide individual health insurance.
Yeah.
Which then limits your choices and screws you over even further and destabilizes the whole thing. And then he'll turn around and go, you see that Obamacare is imploding.
Yeah.
No, you made it implode. So it's an unbelievable way of doing untold damage in several different ways. And by the way, so let's now focus on what does it help?
Nothing.
It only helps undo the Obama legacy. Yeah.
Yes. So in terms of how does it help you with your insurance? They can't even make a claim. They can't with a straight face say it'll lower premiums or give you more benefits or any of the things that they promised. They don't even make that claim. The only thing they're saying is, ha 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 ha, we're destroying Obamacare.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I wish that we could do the entire hour on this because it's obviously so important. There's so many elements to it. You alluded to this, but when I posted that this was going to lead to increased premiums, some Trump supporters who refuse to realize that they've been hoodwinked and screwed over respond with, well, premiums have been going up. Yes, premiums have been going up, but you should be able to distinguish between the natural growth in premiums from our effed up healthcare system on the one hand, and the politician you support intentionally raising your premiums with a stroke of his pen. Those are two different things. One doesn't seem quite as necessary, honestly. Overall, it's expected that at least 1 million people will go off of insurance as a result of this. By really, really fast, because we talked about this earlier. This is not the only change that came to the Affordable Care Act just this week alone. There were other changes a day ago. When we say that this is going to increase your premiums by 20%, We don't mean your premiums are only going to go up 20% from all of the stuff that have happened. We mean this one is going to raise it by 20%. The knock-on effects, the long-term effects of yesterday's change, which is going to take healthy people out of the pool and raise the cost overall for other people, that's a totally separate increase to your premiums that's going to happen. So God only knows what your bills are going to look like next year.
And John, thank you for reminding me. I forgot the fourth way that it damages you is that a million people lose insurance.
Yeah, I mean, just from this, not overall. More people will lose insurance overall when the entire system collapses. That's from this.
Yeah, there was certainly so much wrong with Obamacare. It was, it was an insurance company grab. It seemed it was obviously something that, and the insurance companies with big money behind them have been able to really determine what is healthcare policy in this country for a long time. So even this Obamacare, which did bring all of this insurance to additional people, and those people who are below the poverty line were provided with these supplements, and those supplements are now going away. But it was a flawed policy. But Trump has taken this flawed policy and he's really torched it in a way, yeah, so as to take it, as I say, take something that's already flawed and just turn it on its side. So it really doesn't have a chance to sustain itself in any way. And we're going to get to a couple other aspects, I know, where the law falls short now.
Yeah.
So one quick thing about that. The problem we have is that our side is honest, so we will talk to you about the flaws of Obamacare. In fact, I want to touch on that a little bit more now. Their side is not honest, so they say their proposals, which are disastrous, they go, no, it's wonderful, it's the best. It's the best thing you're ever gonna have. You losing your insurance is wonderful for you, okay? Yeah. Your premium is going up by 20-25%, that's great for you, right? And they don't acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge any part of it, and they just lie over and over. And when we are honest about it, people go, oh, okay, everybody admits Obamacare is bad, but only half the people admit that Trump care is a disaster. And that's just not yeah, true. The Trump, every proposal of Trump has cost people their insurance and increased premiums, at least for people who are not young and healthy. And by the way, as I explained on the show yesterday, it's a trap. The thing that he did yesterday allows you think, oh, I got a little bit cheaper insurance. It only lasts for 3 months, but that's okay. Except that the minute you get sick, they don't renew. Yeah. Then you got a pre-existing condition and you're screwed, which means you don't actually have insurance.
Yeah, yeah. And that was clearly the big thing with Obamacare, that the pre-existing condition clause was huge for so many people. I know you've met them, and I know you've met them, and I've met them. People whose lives are literally saved by that one fact, that pre-existing. Now, this is the beginning of an unraveling that could really affect lives. Not that Trump has ever met or will ever meet any of the people who will be affected.
Yeah, one more thing about the Republicans is that they know how bad it is. They're not saying it publicly, but the noted concern for Republicans in Congress for the 2018 elections. Now, why would you be concerned if your plan is better? And it brought people lower insurance and better benefits like you pretended. Yeah. Why would you be concerned? And they're concerned that he did it through an executive order because it didn't go through Congress because it might lose them their seats. They're concerned about their seats because the plan is way worse. That's why they're concerned.
Yeah, it's not like if it had been as a result of a bill that someone lost their house, they'd be like, well, at least it wasn't an executive order. Yeah, you brought this up, and I do want to double down on it with one more graphic. What the actual effect of just this change, not all of the changes that are happening, just this change, what effect it'll actually have on people's lives with one more graphic. This is graphic 21. The average deductible is, this is before this change. The average deductible for those with incomes below 150% of the poverty line drops from $3,609 to $255. That's a huge amount of money. For the next category, it drops down a little bit less, but still a gigantic. But I want to look at that first one. Because right there, if you do some quick math in your head, you'll see that the CSRs dropped the deductible $3,400. But when you're at 150% or below of the poverty line, that isn't $3,400, because in many cases, you're not going to be able to pay it without that. It's not $3,400. It's bankruptcy, it's homelessness, and in many cases, it's death. It's not a dollar value, it's a fundamental change to your entire life and your family's entire life. And to callously throw this out there, because it's part of Obama's legacy to just destroy it without even acknowledging the lives you'll destroy, is incredibly craven even by Donald Trump standards.
And finally, you know, the Obamacare's upside is it protected you, right? You weren't, if you had a pre-existing condition, you weren't gonna die anymore. That's a big deal. And if you were 150% or around the poverty line, as John just described, you make very, very little money. Now you're working poor, right? Mm. You're not a bum. You're working hard and you're making money, but you're not making enough money. And you don't have that $3,400 lying around. I think the number is something like 75% of Americans are only $700 away from bankruptcy. That is unreal for the people in
power.
That's
about 1/4 of the difference in your deductible.
That's right. So and that's what I keep trying to explain to the people in power. They don't have those problems. They can't understand those problems. They literally don't believe those problems. And then they wonder why the country's angry.
Yeah.
So Trump is playing with your life there. On the other hand, so as good as those provisions in Obamacare are, my God, did they make it so complicated. Mm-hmm. Just look, Medicare is lower premiums, higher benefits, covers everyone. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Mm-hmm. Just do Medicare for all. And politically, it helps you 60%. So as Trump is chipping away at Obamacare and trying to destroy, dismantle it one by one, Democrats, this is the time. They're so scared. Sometimes they're so pathetic. You know, there's all these articles out now like, oh, Bernie Sanders, he's proposing this. And now because it's so popular among progressives, the Democrats, some of the Democrats have to pretend to be in favor of it. But you know, it gives the Republicans ammunition to counterattack. What with
they
a
just did. They attacked you.
First of all, the Republicans always attack. Okay. Second of all, they're destroying healthcare. Third of all, they're going to counterattack you on a position where you have 60% popularity. If you can't defend that position, you're terrible. So for God's sake, take action to fix it. The way to fix it is not to make it more complicated. It's to give us Medicare for all. And I promise you guys that if Trump actually did anything decent, like for example, he promised to take away the fact that we can't negotiate drug prices in Medicare. Now, that's part of Obamacare. It's an absolute outrage. It's totally wrong. Bush had done the same thing. Obama said he would stop it and he didn't. Okay. And now Trump said he would stop it and he didn't, because they're all bought by these drug companies and it's gross. And if Trump had killed that part of Obamacare, I would have loved it. Right? And we would tell you about
that one part.
One part, right?
Overall, it's still be the
yes.
Best.
But that would save us untold billions of dollars, maybe even trillions. It's a giant, giant part of the equation. And it's a monopoly they don't deserve. But Trump, of course, didn't do the one thing that could help, even though he promised it. He did the exact opposite and screwed you over on your insurance. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Isn't that same logic, isn't that same reason, the reason that Democrats don't seize this moment and don't go for single payer, they don't look at this as an opportunity. Instead, they're mealy-mouthed about it because they're bought and paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason. As Cenk says, I mean, all the polls support it. It substantively makes a huge difference, a positive difference, mm-hmm. and yet they're not touching it. There has to be, if it doesn't make any sense, I always say, then it's about money. And this is about money.
I don't know. I think you guys are making some assumptions. So you say, you know, Medicare is 60% approval, but do you know for sure what the approval rating of the president you voted for raising your deductible by thousands of dollars and throwing your family out on the street isn't higher? We don't have the polling. You say you like data.
Okay, so last thing, because now Mark brought it up. Okay, so of course they're fucking corrupt. Anyway, Dianne Feinstein, for whatever reason, right, she just, okay, I'll put it this way. So she did two town halls. They asked her about Medicare for all. And she said, I'm not in favor of it at this stage. You're 84. I'm not being ageist, but when are you going to be in favor of it? When you're 94 or 104?
When we're living in the world of Mad Max.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of it at this stage. Okay.
This just in. This is your last stage.
Stage 4.
Okay. There are no more stages after this.
Okay. And you know what she did? And I just saw this. I have to give credit to the Humanist Report. I watched that online. A week after she did those town halls, going, I don't think so for Medicare for All, guess what she went? To a fundraiser with drug companies and health insurance companies, where she raised an incredible amount of money from the healthcare companies.
She was probably gathering information with which to make her vote.
Yeah, what a wild coincidence. But what's funny is that she decided to do them favors, not at a later stage, but right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, money rules everything around us in Washington. Okay.
I've heard that before.
Yes. And so that's the situation at hand. But luckily, Bernie pushed it so hard. Now we got about 16, 17 senators on the Democratic side that have joined Medicare for All because they'd like to beat him in the primaries, ironically.
31 signed on to it.
No, not in the Senate.
Not in the Senate.
Justice Democrats got 42 new signatures on the House bill.
Wow, that's quite.
Yeah, with, by the way, thanks to you guys, over 100,000 people signed it. Let's make it 200,000. JusticeDemocrats.com/single-payer. Okay, we gotta take a break. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Mark, and John with you guys. A couple of quick tweets for you. Just Ray here writes in, Trump only cares about his 1% friends. The other 99% will have to clean up this mess for the next 4 decades. Yes, that is certainly true. Adrian Ginn says, great breakdown, John. Glad you're back.
Thank you.
Unregistered Chicano, who by the way, really has got to get registered, says,
you could use the time that you made that Twitter thing to get registered.
Yeah. He says, not a fan of the crew cut, John. A wild and woolly Johnny Pie, that's America.
When I first heard that, I was like, I had this for like 25 years. It's not new.
Yeah.
But you established a look while you were there in, you know, in the cold wilds of wherever the F you were.
I established it and then I got sick of it.
Well, that's, but people like True North. They liked it.
True North is strong.
That was True North, John.
Okay, next year.
Okay.
When I go to Antarctica.
What was I going to say about that? The haircut and, oh, America. So yesterday on the post game, oh yeah, America. Yesterday on the post game, we established a new thing. It started in the second hour and went to the post game. America points. Okay, things that you get America points for, things that America points get deducted for, like J.R. Jackson has got huge America points for having his own bowling ball and bowling shoes.
Yeah, you're right.
He owns a bowling ball.
Yes.
He would have been my 13th pick out of our staff.
Yes.
To own a bowling ball.
It doesn't seem like he'd end up on the likely to own a bowling ball list. That is absolutely true.
Yeah. Matt Atchity got America points for growing up in Kansas City. And then he got some America points deducted, but I forget why. I'll remember later. All right, so it's become a thing. It's a thing. We'll figure out how it goes. All right, John, what's next?
Okay, back to the news. Today, Donald Trump spoke at the Values Voters Summit. This is the first time that a sitting president has ever spoken at it. There are reasons for that, since it's a virulently anti-gay and in many cases anti-woman gathering of people. And you are going to love his commentary. We're going to break this down in a number of different ways, but I just want to touch on one thing that he said first. He was talking about his the disaster relief effort that's ongoing, him traveling to Texas and Puerto Rico. And he also said that he traveled to the Virgin Islands, which of course were absolutely destroyed in a way that even other hard hit areas weren't. And he went there and he spoke to their leader, the president of the Virgin Islands, which is odd because he is the president of the Virgin Islands since it's an unincorporated territory of the United States. So that's worrying that he went there and didn't seem to know who the person was he was speaking to. They have a governor, not a president. But more importantly, I mean, that's what people are joking about. But my fear is, if he thinks they have a president, does he not know that we're responsible for what happens there? I mean, can you really trust his disaster relief efforts if he thinks they have their own fully separate government and what, we're their ally or something like that?
Why does he think it says the US Virgin Islands?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. On the other hand, I think he had to get walked through the Puerto Rico thing. I mean, I'm sure they did it in a way so as not to piss him off, but I don't think he fully understood, Mr. President, we have to take care of Puerto Rico. This country, that is America, Puerto Rico.
No. To answer your question, literally, John, does he not know that the Virgin Islands are American territory and unincorporated? Are you kidding me? Okay. Does he not know? Of course he doesn't know. Of course.
Yeah. Unless there's a Trump property there, I don't think he could even find the Virgin Islands on it.
Well, that's worrying.
But can I just say one last thing about that? Guys, just think about, like, okay, so he doesn't know. I keep using the two professions are plumber and dentist. You're a plumber in North Carolina, you're a dentist in Connecticut. You don't know what the current status of the Virgin Islands is. It's totally fine. You're the president. The Virgin Islands have been affected. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk about it. Can you, and if you're not sure, can you just do 10 seconds of homework and ask an aide, you have 1,000 of them, right? Hey, what's the deal with the Virgin Islands, right? How should I refer to their leader? Oh, Mr. President, actually you're their leader. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that happens to be the governor. Okay, great. Oh, thank God you told me before the cameras were on.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't care to do that 10 seconds of homework.
Yeah, he has a team that went with him. My question is, how many times did he refer to the governor as president and nobody would correct him? But yeah, that's scary.
By the way, that's a great point. There's a whole Emperor's New Clothes thing going on with Trump. And then once in a while, when he steps in it big time, like he did with this, I'm just talking about in terms of a public relations thing, he steps in it big time. I mean, he's stepping in it from a big time in public policy all the time.
Yeah.
But when he says something that's totally funky, like, oh shit, what do we do with this? Yeah. I think that's when we end up, you know.
Yeah, and this is scary. I mean, the Virgin Islands is absolutely destroyed. Obviously, Puerto Rico, it's been weeks and weeks, and it's still in an absolutely horrible condition. I read that they had to put out a warning to tell people not to drink from sealed containers in Superfund sites because of the contamination through, you know, toxins and also potentially nuclear stuff. But the people are having to do that because there's absolutely no water. Weeks into this disaster, American citizens are having to drink toxic fluids because they don't want to literally die of dehydration. And we have a guy who doesn't even know what territories he's responsible for and what he aren't. What aren't. We have higher standards and there are more consequences for rock stars who say the wrong city when they open a show than the president when he visits the governor of a US territory. And that's a scary state for us to be in. By the way, they also tried to cover for it. If you bring up this next graphic, in the official transcript of his remarks, you're gonna see that they crossed out president and put in governor. So somebody there knows what's going on. I don't know who gets the credit. Maybe it's Tiffany.
Well, I mean, they have a whole department there by now. Essentially, everybody's trying to cover the president's ass half the time. I mean, you know, trying to respin this, respin that. We see Sarah Huckabee Sanders doing it publicly, but I mean, there are a lot of them doing that. And just on what John was saying, because it's powerful. He mentioned the Superfund sites. You know, there are ecological disasters that have been perpetrated all around those states and those areas that have been decimated by the hurricane. U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. We talked about Houston. We talked about the Gulf states. And these are Superfund sites. These are the areas that have been designated as those areas that require EPA involvement to the point that they're, you know, everything there, the air, the water, everything is toxified. And so with a gutted EPA, you don't have the ability to even address these issues. So the other thing in sort of these twin towers of death, as I see of Trump most in this administration most seriously pursuing, you're eliminating, you've gutted the EPA and their ability to make a difference down in these areas that have been devastated. And as well as the fact that Trump is only marginally concerned with these areas because he doesn't really see them anyway in some way as connected to the United States.
Yeah, that's scary.
Part of the reason why the other day he said, you know, I mean, we've been there 3 weeks. At some point, we've got to wrap up this FEMA thing for Puerto Rico, when he had literally put out tweets about Texas and Florida saying, we will be there for you every single day, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even know that the Virgin Islands is part of our country, and it's 50-50 on Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
and I think he sees us last
Mexico,
thing
we're not sure.
On, but I think he sees us. Okay, I get it. They're part of our country, but that's sort of a technical thing. They're part of their country, our country. They're not really a part of our country. I mean, I think that's the way it settles in that effed up brain of his. Yeah. And I don't. And look, I understand he's the president of the United States, but this is the neglect here is so manifestly awful, and it's led to loss of life. I think.
Yeah.
That you just have to call him out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a couple other aspects we want to get to. I'm probably going to do a little reset. Speaking at the Values Voter Summit today, with President Trump, it's going to be very clear to you that while he's gotten this reputation as being very different from other Republican politicians on certain issues, in his rhetoric, he is very comfortable returning to some classics. So we're going to play a few clips for you having to do with the separation or lack thereof of church and state, starting with this video.
We are stopping cold the attacks on Judeo-Christian values. Well, Christmas season that people don't talk about anymore. They don't use the word Christmas because it's not politically correct. You go department stores and they'll say Happy New Year and they'll say other things and it'll be red. They'll have it painted, but they don't say, well, guess what? We're saying Merry Christmas again.
Okay, can we go into that next one?
Founders invoked our Creator four times in the Declaration of Independence, four times. How times have changed, but you know what? Now they're changing back again. Just remember that. Religious liberty is enshrined in the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And we all pledge allegiance to very, very beautifully, one nation under God.
It's weird that he mentions that we have this freedom of religion, but in his rhetoric and in his tweets today saying we don't worship government, we worship God, he doesn't seem to understand exactly how that right works.
Well, there's a lot he doesn't understand. So that same First Amendment that he mentioned also has freedom of the press, which he was just trying to destroy earlier in the week by threatening to take away the license of any press that dared to disagree with him or to put out a story that was damaging to him.
Yeah.
So I would, you know what, God, reporters, please. I mean, look, he blocks access to from people who might ask him tough questions. But for God's sake, Jim Acosta, whatever, you sometimes do it, right? So ask him when he does say something like this, Mr. President, can you list us the rights in the First Amendment? Because you mentioned it, and I know, and it's very important to protect it. Can you just tell us the rights in the First Amendment? There's no way he gets them right. There's no way, right? So you think he's gonna get, look, we can go through the whole list, but if you read the First Amendment, you would see freedom of speech, freedom of press, right there. It's so obvious, right? And he doesn't, either he doesn't get it, or I really believe he hasn't bothered to take the 10 seconds to read the First Amendment.
Oh, he hasn't. And I thought he let him off the hook during the debates. I thought in the ramp up to nobody in the debates and all of his back and forths, no one asked him anything about things basic to this country, like the First Amendment.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have loved a question like that. That would have been played, what did you think about, what do you think we should do in Aleppo? Remember, I mean, that Aleppo moment? I mean, that was never, it was never a moment like that for Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I think you're right. It would expose everything that we know now.
Yeah.
We knew then, but I feel as though others didn't know it.
Yeah, I think there's, based on what he said, there's a lot of good questions you should ask him. I kind of wish that we'd like sent Nomi, because I'd actually like to ask not him, but the people behind the Values Voter Summit, what their policy on grabbing women by the pussy is. I would love to know. You're religious, okay. Yeah. Where does that fit into your worldview?
Yeah, where are the values in Value Voter?
They're clapping for this guy.
Yeah.
You guys love and respect women, you say. It's weird how that works out in practice.
Yeah, one of my favorite things was when he posed with Jerry Falwell Jr. When getting his endorsement in Trump's office. And in the corner of the picture was a framed copy of a picture of Donald Trump on the cover of Playboy. Okay, so you guys don't mean any of it. You don't care about values. You don't care about morality. You don't just say it like, okay, he hates the same people we hate. Just be done with it. You're respecting women, you don't. And you voted for a guy who brags about grabbing him by the genitalia and not asking their permission. And then you talk about Bill Clinton and what he did to the sanctity of the office. Piss off. Okay. And just so among the many things that are wrong with Trump, what is with the, he can't help himself. And we say very beautifully under God, right? Why is that very beautiful? Like he in Puerto Rico, oh, I was throwing the towels. They were beautiful soft towels. They were normal paper towels in paper in plastic. What was beautiful about it? Everything should be very beautiful. We very beautifully say that.
Why are you shaming the towels? Okay. I thought every towel is beautiful.
When you watch Trump, and he did it there, when he's struggling with the prompter, he oftentimes throws in some additional verbiage, and he did it there. And what Cenk's talking about is the verbiage that he defaults to. He defaults to the very, and then he threw in another very, because he's still struggling with the prompter. Then he threw in a beautiful. He had a rough idea of what he was saying, so he knew that those words kind of fit. I think he does that. Those are the qualifiers that he defaults to, and you saw it there. When he's struggling on prompter, he'll throw that crap in.
And his two favorite words are very and big. So Puerto Rico is surrounded by water. Big water, ocean water. Okay, anyway, And then to me, the part that drives me crazy is the stupid Merry Christmas, so-called War on Christmas nonsense that Bill O'Reilly started.
Still doing
so, okay, so I am not remotely religious, but I'm an American. I love Christmas. And yes, Christmas, okay, not the holidays, but the one with the thing where we put up the pine tree and we get the gifts. And yes, it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, and you know it too. Who did Jesus give the toys to? Okay. Which pine tree was in Bethlehem? Okay, do you know the pine tree tradition comes from the Germanic pagan tradition? Okay, so Santa, where was he? By the way, he was in Turkey. That's St. Nicholas. But yeah. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with him. And I love it. I love the commercial Christmas and the presents and the Santa and the Coke and whatever else we're doing, right? But why must non-Christian people be forced into saying Merry Christmas? So this guy's basically going and said, remember, we're gonna make the Jews say Merry Christmas, okay? We're gonna make the Muslims and the Hindus and the atheists say Merry Christmas. We're gonna make them say it.
Yeah, but Jay,
that's not America.
You acknowledged that you're not Christian, so you don't know. Jesus was big on rubbing people's face and stuff.
You know what
would Jesus do? Spit in your eye. That's what he
did. In fact, this is hilarious because you know what Jesus was? He was Jewish, right? So Trump would go to him and say, Merry Christmas, say Merry Christmas. He said, but wait, I'm Jewish, and then Christmas doesn't even exist yet.
I'm the son of God,
though. Right. No, bow down to Santa, okay? tell him how great he is, you Jew, okay?
The other fact is that the commercialization of Christmas is the biggest reason that Christmas has been sort of defanged as a religious holiday. I mean, it's not as though we just avoided it out of political correctness. What's happened is we've steamrolled all the Christ out of Christmas because we're all about the commercialization of Christmas.
It's
Christmas, I'm with Jack. I love the Christmas season. I'm not about any of the religious stuff, but it's great. They're, you know, you like trading gifts with your friends or whatever the deal is. Everybody's kind of in a good mood. They're not in a good mood because they're going to church that Sunday. They're going in a good mood because it's just a joyous time of year. Their decorations up, their lights and stuff. But we, the American way, we've commercialized it and steamrolled the religion out of it.
And the nice Christmas songs. Rudolph's got a red nose. Everybody's having fun, except the other reindeers are actually dicks. Yeah. They used to exclude him from all the reindeer games until Santa picked him as a special one. You know what? Trump would be like that. Like, oh, Santa likes Rudolph now, okay? He's a beautiful red nose. Very beautiful red nose. Now we like Rudolph. Before, we didn't like him. We used to discriminate. I had a very strict Rudolph ban, but I'm now lifting it because Santa likes him.
Yeah, it was really awkward actually when I was up in the Arctic looking for reindeer, couldn't find any, had to go to Jerusalem to find them. Yeah, the footage it's not gonna look good.
In the original Rudolph story, they did vote all for reindeer every week, and Rudolph ultimately did win the apprentice.
That's right. Yeah, Santa was like, all right, Blitzen, you're fired.
You're glue. Okay, we should probably take our second break. We got lots to get to after this. It's going to get a little bit more serious from here on out, but we'll be back in just a few.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk, Mark, and John with you guys. Digital Shark, an unfortunate name, writes in, I bet he thinks Richard Branson is the president of the Virgin Islands. Good chance, that's true. All right, you got an LOL Digital Shark t-shirt it is,
shit.
Okay. Short. ShopTYT.com. Okay.
Keep the shirt clean.
You can get this one if you want. Resist the 45th. Okay. It's got a big Resist the 45th on the back as well. I love the Resist one with Rosa Parks. That's my favorite. Atypical Southerner writes in, you should have to pass a citizenship exam to hold public office. There's no way in the world Trump would pass that exam. It asks him things like, how many people are on the Supreme Court? Gone. Gone.
What country are you in right now?
The Supreme Court is beautiful. It's big. It's a big court. It's supreme. Okay. Okay, member shout outs are Brad Denkman and Tanya Poslowski. You guys are awesome. On today's post game, we have John Iderola for you guys. And Steve O goes in the ozone with his cool sunglasses.
I don't follow him.
He's wearing
into the
those
ozone.
Sunglasses. Yeah,
yeah. So Johnny Pie hits the ozone. That's weird. Okay.
Okay. All right. Back on the ship again. I think I'm gonna vomit.
to get the full show anytime you want, commercial free and a post game and aggressive, progressive and all those shows, tytnetwork.com/join. All right, what's next, John?
Okay, a serious back and forth is next. One of the major reasons that the Las Vegas terrorist attack was as deadly as it was because of the use of so-called bump stocks that allow you, through modification and purchasing something, to take a semi-automatic firearm and closely mimic the firing rate of a fully automatic weapon. And now, after their use in Las Vegas, some politicians are looking to ban those devices. And you would think, since the only purpose of these accessories is to effectively allow you to circumvent a federal law, that wouldn't be that difficult. We should all be able to agree. This is one of the worst shootings in the history of our country. But not everybody's on board. Guess who's not on board? The NRA is not on board. So we've got two bills that would seek to ban these. We've got Senator Dianne Feinstein's bill would make it illegal for companies and individuals to buy bump stocks. You also have Representative Carlos Curbelo's bipartisan bill would ban them as well. But the NRA put out this statement saying, "We oppose the gun control legislation. These bills are intentionally overreaching and would ban commonly owned firearm accessories." And so they're always worried about that slippery slope. I mean, sure, you just don't want there to be massacres, you say.
Yeah.
And these things are not particularly expensive. The modifications are not particularly complicated, by the way. Up until very recently, and perhaps even today, you can watch videos on the internet that explain how to make these modifications.
Well, to be fair to the NRA, if you run into a herd of armed deer, you're really going to need to fire that rapidly to make sure that they don't get you. So the reason this story is interesting, yeah, the NRA opposes every legislation that would regulate guns in any way, shape, or form, because that's they make money from selling weapons. And if those weapons kill you, they still made the money. In fact, they'll make more money because you'll get scared and buy more guns. So. But why it's interesting is because the NRA had said that they were going to be in favor of getting rid of bump stocks. And it was like the first time they had agreed to anything, even though like this is such a layup, it's so obvious, it's so easy, overwhelming percentage of Americans agree, yada, yada, yada. And we're like, but when the NRA said they would agree, I was like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. Apparently, we have hit some portion of the bottom of the barrel. Right. And then the NRA was like, ah, just kidding, yeah. Just kidding. No. Of course, we oppose legislation. Massacre anyone you like. Yeah. It leads to more gun sales. I mean, my excuse is, I think that it's a better approach to do a regulatory thing. Really, wait a minute. I thought you guys were against overregulation and you were against executive orders and all that. But all of a sudden, no, not a bill. Let's just do regulation. And it's a tweak,
Yeah.
Do you have bump stocks or don't you have bump stocks? What's the tweak part?
Well, and the sick thing is, and I'm sure that they acknowledge this, is that if you loosen up a gun law, people buy more guns. If you tighten up the gun laws, they buy more guns right before it. If there's a big massacre, as you say, people go buy guns. If they complain about intentional overreaching by the federal government, people will go buy more guns. Really, as long as they're talking, people are walking to the gun stores to buy more guns. And so why would they ever concede anything? They can simply pretend that the most reasonable bill in the world is a complete crackdown on guns, and that will scare people into buying their 45th assault rifle.
As Cenk says, they're the NRA, a trade group. They're there to represent the gun business. And so they want to and go on record with things that are good for the gun business. They're not there to craft legislative policy for the American public. That's not what the NRA is there for. They'll try to make arguments and you see them doing all of these logical gymnastics, but they're there to protect the sale of guns. Now, kind of to the point these guys are making, it's so right on. I mean, these are assault weapons that are used just to kill people, or I guess target practice, or listen, I'm not a gun guy per se, but I do know that we allow these modifications and there's no reason you need that modification. There's just none. There's no reason that you need those bump stocks. So it seems, as Cenk says, sort of a legislative layup. You know, you're not really giving up much ground. And the other thing I would say is that this Vegas shooter had a boatload of munitions. I mean, how do you let any American buy that much firepower? Why do you need that much? I mean, I get you want to defend your domicile, whatever the deal is, but why do you need 30 AR-15s. Why do you need 60 AK whatever they are? That's the other huge thing that I think we let go in this country. Why can't there be some kind of reasonable limit on the amount of firepower that one person is allowed to acquire?
So two comical things here. The NRA said, well, look, it's better to do it through regulation because it avoids an all-out legislative fight. But if you just said it's okay, there would be no legislative fight. To Mark's point, you bought all those congressmen. It was a nice purchase on your part for your business. And look, I've said it on the show 1,000 times. I believe in capitalism and, of course, a mixed economy of some sort. Government should do certain things and business should. And so Nike should be able to sell sneakers all they like because sneakers don't kill people. But if you sell something that either takes away our freedom or kills us, it is reasonable to say, hey, wait, let's think about how we do this. Now, not to say that you can't do it. So, for example, prisons take away your liberty. If we incentivize people through profit making to build prisons, well, they're going to want to stock those prisons with Americans, right? So they can maximize their profit. Yeah. That seems like a bad idea, right? That's not sneakers or jeans or McDonald's. And for weapons, they kill people. Now, they also defend your home and you can go hunting with them. So can we have a reasonable regulation on, hey, this will help you defend your home, but you don't really need, or help you hunt, but you don't need bump stock for hunting vermin, as Mitt Romney said when he was running for president, right? So this is something that requires a little bit more thinking and regulation on this stuff.
Yeah.
And the only people who would do the all-out legislative fight is the NRA. Yeah. And then Paul Ryan turns around and says, well, the smartest, quickest fix would be just to do it through regulation. Their argument for regulation here is astounding and hilarious. I thought you guys hated regulation. The reason is because the so-called regulation is weak sauce. It's much weaker, and it's how much weaker can you get? It's just a bump stock. You just take it out, right? But they don't want to take it out. They want to keep selling it. So they're going to do the regulation that doesn't actually stop selling it. And Paul Ryan, what do you mean it's the smartest, quickest fix? You're the Speaker of the House. All you can do is introduce the legislation. Hey, we're having a vote. Hey, we voted yes. We're done with it. How can it be any quicker than that? Right? No, just admit it. You get money from the NRA, NRA gets money from gun manufacturers, you profit off of people dying, just fess up to it and say, hey, I'm bought. Massacres get me more political contributions, and that's why I won't do it. Just be honest with it.
Yeah. And the inane, stupid response, I'm not even gonna mention a name, never mind, I saw it on our Twitter. Is going to be the only people that pay attention to the law abiding people, the criminals don't pay attention to it. So what's the point in banning bump stocks because the criminal will just get it anyway? Which is true. It's true in Britain where you can't get guns like this, and that's why people are constantly using assault rifles in Britain to shoot up crowds.
Oh, right.
That doesn't actually happen at all. Even though theoretically the criminals can just break the law, according to your logic.
I don't want to spend too much time on it, but that
I know.
That is so fucking stupid. Okay, what's the point of banning murder? The criminals are going to murder people anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we just let the innocent people also murder people? What the fuck this kind of logic is that? What's the point of banning rape? The criminals are going to do rape anyway.
Yeah,
that's why we have laws.
I would like to applaud the consistency of Republicans in not ever attempting to ban abortion. You just get the abortion anyway.
Or drugs. They're going to do the drugs anyway.
Right? Anyway, okay, are we going to fit in one more?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. We got some more hypocrisy for you. Earl Granville is a veteran of the conflict in Afghanistan, where he lost a leg, actually, as many of our soldiers did, legs, arms, and all that. When he returned to America from his service, he also returned to his hobby of competitive athletic events. And one event that he was in was a multi-day Spartan race in the mountains of Vermont that's focused on endurance, literal mountain climbing and running through hills and all of that. Now, to commemorate this very difficult athletic achievement, he took a photo, and here is the photo. And you're seeing there on his t-shirt, that's the name of the event that he was in. And that's a really striking photo. You know, he just did something that I literally couldn't do right now, and he did it with only one leg. And so I would look at that photo and I would think, wow, this is amazing. Not just for what he had previously done in his service to our country, but what he continues to do now that he's brought back. It's an inspiring photo. That's me. Other people look at it and think, cha-ching, I can make some money. So let's bring up this next photo that you might have seen on Facebook or social media. Wait a second, his shirt's different in that one. It says, I don't kneel. Weird that he's supporting the people who don't want athletes to kneel during the Pledge of Allegiance. Weird. He found it weird too because he didn't ever actually pose in that photo. People just photoshopped it and began selling the shirt by using his image. Multiple Etsy shops as of right now are still selling the t-shirt with a false image of him. Political Insider, which is a Facebook page, also published that photo. By the way, Political Insider, to give you an idea of the reach of this thing, Political Insider, when they posted it, it got 157,000 shares. This image of this soldier, which is photoshopped without his consent, spread without his consent, and not just his implicit lack of consent, he has specifically tried to stop people from doing this. He said this, if somebody asked for my permission, I would have said no, but I didn't hear anything from any of them. I understand it's a hot item at the moment, but to see somebody profiting on this, to think, quote, here's an image of a guy missing his leg, maybe he looks military? To use that as an agenda to sell a product, that's where I needed to step in. And it's not just that they didn't ask him or they didn't care. He contacted one page in particular, Veterans Pride. He reached out to them, sent them a message, and they blocked him. These are the people. Think about, this isn't a random protest. This is a protest where they say they're attacking African Americans for not respecting the flag in our country and conceivably our soldiers. And they're blocking the soldiers they're profiting off of to sell their stupid freaking t-shirts.
All right, so first of all, I get why they're using that picture. And I don't know anything about Earl Granville's politics, and he never said anything about his politics. I don't know what he thinks about kneeling or not kneeling. That isn't the issue, right? I get why they're using the picture, because that's a man, okay? And so, I mean, to compete in that event, missing a leg, that is unreal. Bless his heart. But to me, the most amazing part is the last thing that John said. He reaches out to the company to change his name to, ironically, I Kneel. I'm not kidding, it's spelled I-N-E-E-L, okay? That's the Facebook page now. It used to be Veteran Talk, and now it's also, they're using also the thing Veterans Pride. Now, no one knows if there's a single veteran involved in that organization. And when the actual veteran they use in that actual picture reach out to them, they blocked him. You want to talk about disrespectful to veterans? And there's another word phrase for this. It's called stolen valor.
Yeah.
And so that guy lost his leg in Afghanistan. No matter what you think of that conflict or any of those conflicts, he signed up, he went, he fought for us. And you stole, in this case, it's literally stolen valor so you can make money off of it.
Yeah.
And these guys talk about respecting the flag and our military. And so, oh, we're conservatives, we're good. Oh, yeah, you respect that flag. Don't kneel like these guys who want to do something about police brutality. Police brutality is awesome, okay? And then I'm for the troops. Okay, I'm the guy you're using the picture of. I piss off, veteran. We don't give a damn about you. We're making money here, okay, by tricking people.
Yeah. And look, I don't know about this particular page, Veterans Pride, or the other one, Political Insider. Who knows? But I know we reported within the last week that a lot of these Facebook pages, which were getting literally hundreds of millions of shares on their political memes designed to stoke racial division in our country, political division in our country, didn't just not have any veterans in them, they didn't have any Americans in them because they were being run by another country. I won't be more specific than that, do your research.
Yeah, so, but you know, like they have no bounds. So the Political Insider, they have as a caption in this picture, thank him for his service, share. Well, you can thank him for yourself if you would just answer his call or his email or his Facebook comment saying, I'm the guy, can you please stop using my image? By the way, maybe you make a deal, maybe he agrees with you, I don't know. And then you actually like give him 10%, I don't know.
Sure.
But for God's sake, answer the guy instead of stealing from him.
Now, look, veterans have been exploited in so many ways. If you haven't seen it, every American, I think, should see the Pat Tillman story. It's a documentary called The Pat Tillman Story. You can see how the American government exploits our veterans to bring others into service. He was a great hero, and he made millions in the NFL. He was in the prime of his career, but he was motivated to serve in Afghanistan because of the 9/11 attack and all of this stuff. He goes over there and he loses his life to friendly fire. And what does the government do? They create a story around his loss of life. Even though he lost a friendly fire, they said he was fighting terrorists and one of the terrorists took him down. And then they build this mythology around him to try to bring in more recruits.
Yeah.
And so that's our own government, who he's given his life for, exploiting his service for a message that they want to get out there. It's heinous, you know? And so, and this really is that, the exploitation of this guy. And then, yeah, you add all the BS on top of it, blocking him after he actually just tries to engage with him and go, hey, you know, I think there's been a mistake here with my picture. I mean, it's just, it's nauseating.
Yeah, and the Trump the other day tried to use Pat Tillman again, and it, and his wife was like, no, don't do that. That's really gross.
Yeah.
And Tillman didn't even agree with the war. I mean, he left an NFL career. He went to go fight for his country because of 9/11. And he's like, look, I signed up for it. I think this is a mess. I don't think it's going in the right direction. But you know what I'm doing? I'm staying because that's my job and that's my service. He dies in that service. And then they use him as a political punchline. And
right.
So, look, it's not equal. You might disagree with progressives, but generally speaking, they don't do things like that. And they, I've never seen any liberal website, progressive website, or whatever, like, oh yeah, let's just rip off a veteran. That'll be fun. Who cares? Let's make money over them. My God, if they did that, the media would never stop talking about it. Conservatives do it without blinking an eye, and then they turn around and go, oh yeah, yeah, I'm for the veterans. As long as you're making a buck off them, it's absolutely disgusting. All right, we're out of time in the first hour. John Iadarola, we thank you for your service. Okay.
Not service.
Not military service.
True North.
Okay.
True North.
True North, though. He did go to the North Pole and he did serve in that sense. Found out more about the environment. And apparently came this close to a reindeer. That's what he was telling us during
the Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're super docile.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know you'd gone down to Jerusalem.
Yeah, there's huge herds of reindeer outside Tel Aviv, actually, this time.
Okay, Mark's going to stay with us. Anna's coming up next. Two stories for you guys that I love. There's a bunch, of course, but Jared Kushner's incompetence is freaking hilarious. You're going to love that story. And then, unfortunately, more outrage. Government under Trump goes down to Puerto Rico to help people. Instead, they had a spa day. It actually gets worse than that. We'll explain when we come back.